Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Now, Zach is younger than the two of us and hipper in many ways.
Yeah, he's probably got some buckets from Buckethead.
Well, let's go ahead and ask him. Zach, do you have any of the music of Buckethead? And if you do, in what form does that music manifest itself?
Well, he's a critically acclaimed rock guitarist.
Of course,
and he's performed with some really big-time groups, including Guns N' Roses, among others.
Now, that almost sounds to me like you're reading that, Zach.
He told Guitar Player magazine, quote, "I was eating it, and I put the mask on and then the bucket on my head. I went to the mirror and I just said, Buckethead." That's Buckethead right there. It's just one of those things. After that, I wanted to be that thing all the time. And credit to him, he has been.
I'm kind of sorry I asked. Two balls and two strikes on Dansby Swanson.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
I mean, I think Buckethead's got a vibe, man. It sounds like something, doesn't it? It sounds like something. I like it. Welcome back in to the afternoon show, the Spiegel and Holmes show being manned today by me, Mark Rohde, and him, Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune. You're my partner on the Take the North podcast.
I'm your partner in life.
That is true. that is the way it has become. We finish each other's sentences. The chemistry is real, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and we've got quite a week ahead of us between this Cubs series tonight in Philly. We got one final OTA that I don't think any major veterans are attending in Hell's Hall this week, and we'll wrap it all up.
I'll be skipping class tomorrow myself because I will be right here again hosting on the Spiegel and Holmes show. So we're going to leave it up to you to take care of everything at the Hall of Halas.
Okay? I'll be the eyes and ears on things for sure.
I do appreciate that. We heard that funny stuff from the hipster, hipster Zach Zaidman right there, who is digging in right now in Philadelphia for the Cubs and Phillies 5:10 pregame. The first pitch is at 5:45 live to Citizens Bank Ballpark. We go and join us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is Zach Zaidman. What's going on, Zach? How are you in Philly, man?
First off, how lucky are both Spiegel and Holmes to have the two of you filling in for them? What a treat for Score listeners this afternoon.
So lucky.
I'm doing great. By the way, it's mostly cloudy, 72 degrees, slight wind blowing out to left. And to get back to the Buckethead story, it's all because of Nick Lodolo, the Cincinnati left-hander. He went to Laverne High School, Damien High School in Laverne, California. And that's the same high school that Mark McGwire went to. But why would we focus on the fellow baseball player that went there? We focused on the other famous alum, Buckethead, the rock guitarist. He performed with Guns N' Roses, so many other people. And, that story that you heard is a documented fact. And we like to bring you those facts on Cubs Radio.
That's beautiful, Zach. And I will just say, per your kind words about us, we Zach, are merely providing job security for Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes until they are back. We have been chosen to do that.
Well played, Mark. Well
Thank you.
Played.
Thank you.
Zach, I would love to ask you about what happened in Detroit. I'd love to ask you about what might happen in Philly. But I scroll through my social media feed, and I see that you are taking over the Philly Fanatics four-wheeler. Can you give us a little bit of insight? Have you taken that out for a spin yet today?
It's actually an ATV, an all-terrain vehicle, and it's the second year in a row that I've caught the vehicle unmanned by either a human or the Philly Fanatic. And I've hopped on it. It's kind of cool. I mean, isn't there a part of you that wishes you could kind of let that thing ride across the field like the Philly Fanatic and do some crazy stuff? So I can't do that, but at least I hopped on it and pretended for a few seconds that I was the Philly Fanatic, and I posted it. See the big smile on my face? I don't smile often, so that's a big deal.
You can't find the keys for that thing right now? What's the problem?
I was looking for it. Couldn't find it. And I'm not searching for the Philly Fanatic to find them.
All right, so help Grody and I out with this. The Cubs played a series in Detroit that did seem to have some electricity to it. It's their first series loss since early May. What did you make out of, I guess, first the offensive output in Detroit, which was down comparatively what we've seen the Cubs do? And just on the big picture level, what did you make of what the Cubs did in Detroit?
Well, I love the fact that the Cubs starting pitching kept them in every game. That's a big deal when you consider that Shota Imanaga isn't around and Justin Steele isn't around. And if I told you before the start of the season that Ben Brown would go toe-to-toe with Tarek Skubal in the opener of that series, you would have taken it. And that's the kind of stuff that impresses me. The fact that Cade Horton has seamlessly adjusted to Major League life. Has he looked like this big-time phenom? No, not yet, but it's still early in his big league life. And keeping the Cubs in game, that to me is a big deal. The moment does not look too big for him when we see him out on the mound. So that's important. In terms of the offense, the old saying is good pitching stops good hitting. And against these great pitchers, and the Cubs are facing a few of them on this trip, it started with Mackenzie Gore, the talented left-hander in Washington. It continued with Skubal in the opener in Detroit. And then yesterday with Jack Flaherty, who's had a renaissance late in his career. It'll continue today with Zach Wheeler. There's a really good left-hander, Jesus Luzardo, the former Marlin. He's going to be throwing in this series for the Phillies. And when the Cubs return home to take on the Pirates, they're going to see Paul Skeens again. So I think against those good pitchers, what you learn is there are two things you can do. One is make those pitchers work, which the Cubs have done. The second thing is it's really hard to rally. You're not going to get a whole bunch of singles, steal bases, and do that kind of thing and play small ball and win against those guys. This is where the home run ball does matter. You might get one or two pitches that those guys make mistakes on, and when they do, you've got to hit it out of the yard to beat those guys, and that's why I think we saw some of the results that we saw in Detroit. The other thing that we should pay attention to, if you go back to Friday's game, Cubs probably had some defensive plays they wish they could have back, because that gave Detroit an extra advantage. Plus, that base-running miscue in the fifth inning really cost them, because you had Skubal on the ropes there with men at second and third and no one out, but we all know what happened. When you face the great pitchers, you can't give them extra opportunities in the Cubs game.
Yeah, that was the PCA rounds third, and Quentin Berry's like, stop, go back, and then it was too late for him to go back in that spot. But yeah, man, you're right. I mean, this is the time where, like, if you're going to be one of those teams, you got to be pretty meticulous about the way you go about things and not miss out on opportunities like that. That's for sure. Zach, we've been talking about, unfortunately, the umpires for a couple of days. It was kind of a tough go with Doug Eddings on Saturday and then Derek Thomas ejecting Nico Horner as well as Craig Counsell yesterday. Has there been more conversation about that today in the pregame?
You know, not necessarily. And I spoke to Nico Horner. He's going to be a guest on our pregame show. I know you guys talked to him earlier. He doesn't really want to talk about it, and I think it's unfair to ask Nico Horner to take an illogical situation and make it logical. You know, he didn't do anything that deserved an ejection. So it's hard for him to explain to you why he got ejected when that doesn't get you ejected. I talked to him, and you'll hear it on the pregame show beginning at 5:10 this evening. I asked him about his first ejection, which took place last year against the White Sox, and if you remember that one. And he started smiling because, yeah, he remembered that one because he used words that would get you ejected from field of play. That did not happen yesterday, and I think that's the reason that Craig Counsell had to go out and support his player. And I don't think Craig Counsell enjoys getting ejected. It's not something you normally see him do. He's not one of these managers that loses control and tries to, you know, inspire his team with these manufactured rants. But yesterday it was necessary because of what happened to Horner. Now, going back to Eddings on Saturday,
Give
the Cubs credit. They did not let that impact the result of the game. They smacked 5 home runs and found a way to win. And that's what makes yesterday frustrating, is that you lost a really good player to an ejection. And who knows what might have happened in that game if Nico's able to stick around.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2-0 at that point. You've got a guy on second base after a leadoff double by Dansby, and it was game-changing in a lot of different ways there. Zach, when you look at this team big picture, and you see, you mentioned kind of how impressed you've been that they've been able to stabilize the pitching with Steele out, with Shota on the out for the length of time that he's been out for. What is the sense of what they need going forward? How quickly are some of the guys that are out going to be back? And then when you look forward to adding from outside the roster, what is the priority there, do you think?
Well, when I look at the stats then, and you start to take a look at what the Cubs have done, and they've been in first place or had a share of first place every day for the last 66 days since April 4th. So that tells you that this is a pretty good team. And the reason that they're there is because they have an offense that's as good as any in the game of baseball today. If you look at the stats, they're top 5 in nearly every major offensive category. I expect that to continue. All the question marks that you had entering the season have been answered in a big way. Duke Crow Armstrong has turned himself into a budding young star. He's taken off and gotten significantly better than where he was at the end of last season, and he's pretty good at the end of last year. Michael Busch has taken that next step as an offensive player, and you're seeing him more and more adjust to major league life. He's riding a 9-game hitting streak, entering play today, hitting .400. Max Shaw used his time in the minor leagues to quickly adjust, tweak the things he had to mechanically, and make himself the kind of hitter that put him in the big leagues in the first place. So that is encouraging. Seiya Suzuki, being sandwiched by a bunch of left-handers inside that lineup, has taken off and is having his best season. And the catching situation, I know Amaya's on the injured list right now, but between him and Carson Kelly, they've done a really nice job from an offensive standpoint this year, and that has been a weakness for the Cubs for the last couple of years. So I don't think you need to play around with the offense. I'd like to see them add another starter to the rotation to push everyone down, if you can do that. Jameson Tyron's been fantastic. 6 straight quality starts. Every time they need a big outing from him, he gives you one. Matthew Boyd has been as good as you could possibly ask him to be coming off the injury. He showed you some signs in his return to the big league last year with Cleveland, coming off all those different elbow ailments that he dealt with. Ben Brown, you'd like to see a little bit more consistency. Let's see how Cade Horton continues to grow. But how much can you count on those guys going forward when you're asking them to do things that they haven't really done as big leaguers? That's why I'd like to see them go out and get another starter. Shota Imanaga has 2 innings of rehab work tomorrow in an Arizona Complex League game against a bunch of rookies out there. You figure he'll be back before the end of the month, but you're not going to have Justin Steele. That's why I'd like to see them go out and get another starter. Porter Hodge eventually will go down to Iowa and have a little bit of a rehab stint if he tries to work his way back from a hip impingement, but you can never have enough help in the bullpen, even though Craig Counsell and Tommy Hodges have done a great job of stabilizing the bullpen, figuring out the best roles for everyone there. You really have to like what you've seen lately from the Cubs.
Yeah, there really wasn't a closing situation in this series for the Cubs over these last 3 days. But I was just talking about this on Friday, as a matter of fact, when Luke Kanellis was filling in Zach. I mean, Ryan Pressly is going to get another chance to be the guy who is the closer in any situation in one-run game. I mean, that could happen tonight, right? Couldn't Ryan Pressly be the closer?
It could be, but I think right now you're looking at Daniel Palencia, and he's been phenomenal since thanks to Ryan Pressly in large part, because it was Pressly who gave him a long talk along with Justin Turner the last year was a down year for Valencia, and I think he tried to be too perfect. Those guys sat him down and said, listen, you're throwing excess of 100 miles per hour. You don't have to be perfect. Just get it anywhere near the zone and force guys to hit your best stuff. And so far, it's been working. It's been a mentality change, more so than a physical change for Valencia. Porter Hodge, before he got hurt, was looking good as the closer. So you have a number of options. You'll hear the term out-getter from Brett Council, because in today's new age of baseball, it's about pockets from the sixth inning on that you're looking at. So there are certain guys that fit a pocket better than others. So you have to just throw away that old mentality of the old school Goose Gossage type of closer, Lee Smith type of closer, and it's a new age of baseball. But I will say this, when you're on in the ninth and you know the game is on the line, it takes a different kind of mentality, a different kind of guy to shut the door. And we know that Ryan Pressly has done it over the course of his career in the biggest of games as a champion with the Astros. We've seen Valencia do it this year, and we've seen Hodge do it in spots this year and last year. That's encouraging that you have more than one guy who can do that.
Zach, you mentioned PCA, and obviously the year he's having is above and beyond what anyone was expecting, 10, 12 weeks ago. What do you see in terms of why he's had this explosion that he's had, and do you have any comps for whether it's baseball or football for the type of zeal he plays with every time that he's in the outfield or at the plate?
He's Devin Hester, right? Any moment's the moment.
Oh,
and
I like that.
That's what stands out to me about Pete Armstrong. And you don't know what the moment will be. Is it going to be with a bat in his hand? Is it going to be with him as a base runner? Is it going to be with him with a glove out in center field? Any moment could be a special moment that you've never seen before when PCA is involved. And that's exciting. Devin Hester had that kind of electricity when he was a return man with the Bears. And even as a wide receiver, when the ball was in his hands, any moment was the moment where he could end up in the end zone with just a juke move or a spin or whatnot. And I think PCA is that kind of special, and it's been fun to watch. What I love about him is the drive, the desire. He's bought in to what Craig Council is selling. He's bought in to what the leaders of the clubhouse have been selling. And that, to me, is rare, because when a young guy gets a lot thrown at him and starts to receive all the adulation that comes with being the kind of special player that he is, you never know how it's going to go. And I love the way he's handled all of this excess attention that he's getting because of his play on the field.
Who wins in a race, PCA or Hester?
I'm going to go Devin. But if you're talking about Devin in his prime, yes. If you're talking about Devin right now, PCA might just edge him.
That was very well handled there, Zach. Very well done, sir.
You know what's interesting, though, is I was talking to PCA about this yesterday on the pregame show. I asked him when he was a kid, who was the guy that he tried to emulate, based on his style of play? And he said the guy was Andrew McCutchen in his heyday as the Pirates center fielder. And then I asked him about Javier Baez, because I think he's the Cub with the most flares since Baez left.
Yeah.
And you guys remember that shot Friday where the two of them were at second base and were watching a challenge review on the big video board at Comerica Park. And PCA told me that's the first time he's ever spoken to Javi. And he was just taken aback by all the kind words that Baez had to say to him about his style of play, which I thought was really cool.
That's cool, yeah.
That is cool. I mean, it's like getting to hang out with Justin Turner, too, for PCA. It seems like he talks to and has surrounded himself with the right people. As a matter of fact, Zach, a little bit later on, we're going to let you go so you could actually go do your job, but later on, I heard your PCA interview, and I thought it was really good, and I loved what you asked about him, what he thinks he needs to do to get better, and you even filtered the question by saying, I know you need to get better at everything, but give some specific things, and I'm going to share those a little bit later on. So I want to just thank you ahead of time, Zach, for providing some content for Dan and I, the co-host of the Take the North podcast.
That's what a good teammate does, right?
Yes, sir. Zach, have a great game tonight. Thanks for coming on, man.
Great chat, guys. Be well.
See you, man.
Yep. That was the one and only Zach Zaveman getting ready for Cubs pregame. 5:10 is when he will, as he says, blow through the speakers of your radio. I believe that's how he says
telling
it.
Us more about
blast
Buckethead?
Through the speakers.
Thank you. Blast through the speakers of your radio. That is what Zach will be doing at 5:10 today.
More Buckethead trivia?
I kind of like the way Buckethead sounded. You know what? On my walk home tonight, I might put on a little bit of Buckethead. I might just do it. One thing I realized, I was like, what are we going to talk about? We got to talk about the Bears, man. We've been here for most of this show. And like I said, we are always a threat to talk Bears. We will do it next. We will do it specifically centering on a certain ex-Packers player, Jaire Alexander. That's right. You heard me, ex-player. So we're going to kind of go around the north and talk about the Bears as well. This is the afternoon show of Spiegel and Holmes with Weedsy and Grody filling in on the score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
And the last thing, the most important piece, is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
Chicago football fans, it's time for Take the North Live with Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Oh, yeah. Hello, and welcome in to the Take the North podcast, where we talk about the Chicago Bears, along with Dan Weedsy Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune and frequent score contributor. I am Mark Grody of The Score. We are filling in. This is a very special episode of the Spiegel and Holmes show, because we are here, Dan. How are you, Weedsy?
Can I say something?
Yeah. Bears.
You're having a really bad day so far.
Okay. Get him out of there. Okay. I see you. I got you. I'm with you.
I'm not going to hear from you.
But I'm not going to hear from you.
Get better. I will. I'll get better.
Doug Eddings from Saturday, by the way. Just so funny. Like, he's barking at the Cubs. The dugout's barking at him, and he's telling them, I'll be better. I'll be back. I will.
I'm not going to hear it from you.
Not going to take it. Not going to happen. There was actually some news that, most deaf would get Bears fans' antennas up.
And that is the fact that the Green Bay Packers, they went and did it. They done did it. A guy that has been omnipresent against the Bears for since 2018, the Packers have released Jair Alexander, the former first-round pick, 2018 first-round pick that would put him in Roquan Smith territory. That's who the Bears took that year. I do remember Jair's name coming up that year, but he goes to the Packers. What happened was the Packers apparently proposed a restructured contract to the very well-paid Jair Alexander, but that did not go over well. I think the Packers have had enough, probably just because mainly because of the fact that he's only played 14 games in the last two years.
The durability has been an issue for three of the last four seasons, and so it's a problem when you're paying a lot of money for a guy who's not able to get out on the field a lot. That's been a problem with certain guys at House Hall over time, where you pay for something, you expect them to be available on game day. Jair Alexander also could be a little bit of a flaky personality as well in that locker room. Obviously, the one high-profile moment from late in the 2023 season where he went out I don't know what you'd call it, uninvited to the coin flip, and almost called the wrong thing for the Packers. He said that we want to defend, and they really wanted to defer. And so, like, I think that was an issue. It was a reminder to me, Grody, when I saw this news this morning, that all the other teams in the NFC North have their own questions that they're trying to answer, and some of them are getting bigger. When you see Jair Alexander leaving Green Bay, and then last week Frank Ragnow deciding to hang him up in Detroit, you realize that the Bears aren't the only ones heading for training camp with some really large question marks on their docket.
Yeah, well, let's look at some of those teams. And we just talked about Green Bay, and right, they're dealing with their own stuff, and not to mention that they didn't feel like a great team down the stretch either, Green Bay, and I can see the evidence being the Bears beat them, and they did lose their last two games in a row, so
really struggled within the division, and we're talking about taking the North. If you can't beat the teams in the North, you're not going to take it.
That's right, and LaFleur lost a felt. It feels like Packers fans, like, they go back and forth on this guy, like, genius to, oh, I'm not real sure about this guy. I think they have a pretty good product in Matt LaFleur, despite the fact that Ben Johnson has the dominance over him that he has. But, yeah, they've got their own issues. We don't know at this point where Jordan Love lands on the spectrum of good, great, elite. I mean, I think we could erase elite at this point. I'm just, like, it seemed like he was trending great for a while, but not really.
He had a good second half of the season a couple of years ago, and I think everyone sort of rushed to this conclusion that he was the next in the line, Favre to Rodgers to Love. And you're like, well, wait a second. And I've been beating this drum for years now of saying, like, he could be decidedly average. And nobody knows decidedly average quarterbacks to below average quarterbacks better than people in Chicago. And so if the Packers can't identify a future star in Jordan Love, they could be entering a period of, you know what it's like. You know what mediocrity feels like. You know, like, if you don't have the quarterback that can lift you when not everything else is stable, you're going to go through some times. And I don't think the people in Green Bay have really had to experience those times over the last 30, 40 years, and they might be entering a period here a lot sooner than they thought.
Which is maybe part of why the Green Bay Packers did finally do what Aaron Rodgers had been imploring them to do for years, and that was to draft a wide receiver in the first round, which they did with Matthew Golden. So we'll see. Like, maybe they're kind of – I mean, it was a nice story. Is a nice story, I suppose, when you talk about their receivers. There's none of these guys are bad receivers, but they're mostly average, not necessarily big name guys, and that seemed to be like this magic formula that they were all on the same plane. But I think they're realizing that they are without, for the like, really seeing it without a true balls to the wall playmaker on the Green Bay Packers right now, which was something that we've seen forever.
Yeah. You know, and Rodgers would tear their heart out and everything would happen,
right? So even if it was a wide receiver, a running back,
sure,
just
yeah,
somebody to break your heart.
Davante Adams, yeah,
absolutely.
Right, like Aaron
Randall
Jones.
Cobb.
Yeah. So many that you can name. Look, like, I think the defense last year had flashes in Green Bay. You had a pass rush that was pretty solid overall. They were pretty good stopping the run, top 10 run defense a year ago. But they're going to have some questions entering the year, and as the Bears try to close this gap, and we documented it a lot last year. It's a huge gap to close. That's one of the teams that's going to have some questions to answer in 2025.
The Detroit Lions were 15-2 last year. You talked about Frank Ragnow is gone. Ben Johnson is gone. Aaron Glenn is gone. Antoine Randle L is gone. So those are some real things, but still there. Goff, Gibbs, Montgomery, St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Laporta, Aiden Hutchinson will be healthy this year. So I guess we'll find out. This is one of those years you find out the importance of coaching, or is this team like I think it is? It is just sort of on autopilot at this point in terms of just being really good players and a really good team.
So here's the question, and I'll ask it to you live on the air, putting you on the spot.
Ooh, boy.
How do you feel about the Lions coordinators? Ben Johnson's in Chicago, Aaron Glenn's in New York, and you got John Morton and Kelvin Shepard running the show there, right? Like, that's not a lot of proven credibility
there. That doesn't sound good. It doesn't nothing about that sounds good.
So this is a team in Detroit that lost 8 coaches, including both coordinators, after last season. Dan Campbell has to basically reconfigure his staff and put it back together in a way where they can get productivity. Oh, then you get into the spring and your starting center, Frank Ragnow, decides that it's time. I just can't play anymore. And he hangs him up. And so now you've got to decide between a second round pick, Tate Ratledge out of Georgia. Is he going to be the guy that you take into the regular season running with a rookie center with that offense that you just mentioned? Or are you going to try to slide Graham Glasgow in the middle there as a center and then figure out the guard position from there? And so there's a lot of puzzle pieces that now Dan Campbell has to reassemble after having, as you mentioned, a 15-2 team, a team that took the North, has tried not to give it back. Mm-hmm. And now I think it's really easy to see them taking a step back. How big is that step back? I don't know, but they certainly have questions. And not knowing what John Morton does offensively, not knowing what Calvin Shepard, who's 37 in his fifth year of coaching altogether, brings to the defense, I don't know what you're looking at there.
Oh, yeah, it is Dan Weeder right there. I'm Mark Grody. We're totally in podcast mode right now. This is Take the North mode. Talking Bears as we do. We're going to hear some Bears audio here in just a second. But first, a little bit on Minnesota. The team, just a reminder to everybody, they were 14-3 last year, were the Minnesota Vikings. This year will be interesting to see with J.J. McCarthy. Is J.J. McCarthy just going to come out cooking, or does Sam Howell get the appetizer portion of the season?
Look, there's a lot of chatter about that opener, right? The Bears will host the Vikings at Soldier Field just down the road here on Monday night in week one, and you're thinking, man, that's a pretty big stage to go on for the opening week of the season. You're also getting a guy potentially making his first NFL start. I don't know what the overall record was of Vic Fangio playing quarterbacks that were in their first year starting, but I know it was really good. And I don't know if Dennis Allen's got a similar track record of taking young quarterbacks and finding their weaknesses really quickly and making them uncomfortable for an entire night. So in some ways, that's a favorable matchup for the Bears to welcome not a rookie, but a first-time starter to their building on a primetime stage in week one. It may feel a little more friendly than it did when the schedule came out.
Well, I hate to tell you this. I'm going to play something for you right now, Dan, and this is going to absolutely blow your mind. The Bears do play the Vikings, as you mentioned, in prime time. And you just said the Bears may have a chance in that game. Ben Johnson says, they're not ready for prime time at all. Here's Ben.
There was a lot of really, really good teaching tape today. Really good teaching tape. And so we're not ready for prime time yet. See? I think that was loud and clear over the last 3 weeks of play. But that's to be expected as well. We knew that was going to happen. And we'll look to take advantage of training camp to tighten the screws up and be ready to go week one.
Sometimes we like to take little turns when we're doing the Take the North podcast, and I enjoyed that little twist and turn and Ben Johnson talking after the 3-day minicamp last week. By the way, there's an availability tomorrow at OTA, a weird one because most guys won't be there. It's kind of voluntary. It's kind of weird that they have it, but they are having it. But Ben Johnson right there making it pretty clear that while, hey man, things are being put in place, this ain't it.
Emphatic acknowledgement that we're not ready for prime time yet, and then a follow-up to say that it was loud and clear over the 3 weeks of OTAs and mandatory minicamp.
Good, so good.
You understand that there's a lot of work to be done for this Bears offense. That was in relation to a play that was run at the end of a minicamp practice last week where Caleb Williams oversaw a discombobulated sequence and then scrambled out to his right and then tried to force a pass across the middle, across his body, threw high to Cole Kmet, was intercepted by Tariq Stevenson in an end-of-game situation, and it was just another one of those moments where you're like, oh, yeah, they're not ready for primetime yet. And the head coach and the quarterback have a ton of work to do to get on the same page to start to get their collective mission together launched properly at Halas Hall. You know, and so, man, I know you and I will be out there a lot in July and August documenting every single snap of these 7-on-7s, 11-on-11 periods, and trying to figure out what it all means. Right now, the head coach is telling you very vocally and very emphatically, we're not ready for primetime yet.
What I want to see, like looking ahead to training camp, what I'm going to be looking for or wanting, and I'll be expressing it as much as I possibly can, is successive days, multiple days in a week where the head coach is getting up there and saying, yeah, the offense looked a little better than the defense, because we just haven't gotten to that point for years in training camps, and it usually foils over into the regular season. And once again, when Ben Johnson was honest about the three-day minicamp, I think it was on the Wednesday, where he said, yeah, for the most part, I'll be honest with you, you guys haven't seen everything, but the defense has been ahead of the offense, except for on that day. That's why he brought it up. But right. I'll take that as this was the defense looked better than the offense. And I'm not saying like that's understandable for this time of the year. I get it. Everything is new and fresh, and they don't even have their offensive line in place. But that's what I'm saying in training camp. At some point in time, in one of those weeks of I need to hear, give me 2 days in a row where we hear the offense just looked really good, because I can't remember the last time there were successive days of practice that we got to see that looked good for the offense. Or even if you want to talk about the games the Bears played, rarely were there successful offensive performances for the Bears.
I need to see with my eyes that it's clicking between Ben and Caleb. Nothing's more important to the 2025 Bears than those two guys getting synced up, being on the same page, tailoring the offense to what works for the quarterback through the eyes of the play caller slash head coach, and taking that to a new level. I don't know if that's going to happen early in training camp. There's a thing happening at Halas Hall where Caleb Williams has raised his hand and said very loudly, I want to be coached hard. And I think with everything that Ben does and says, he says, do you? You know, because I am going to coach you harder than you've ever been coached. And we're going to determine whether that's just something you're saying or something you really mean, because you are going to be coached really hard. And your ability to respond to hard coaching is going to determine where we can go and how quickly we can get there. That, to me, is going to be fascinating in the month of August.
It's like, oh, you want to play Army ball? If you want to play Army ball, we'll play Army ball. Because, you know, this is not stuff that you could tell anybody about. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to push you pretty hard out here, young man. Man, that's the way it's going to go. Let's hear from Ben Johnson on Caleb Williams.
There was a teaching moment with Caleb at the end of that last 7-on-7 where he went to the flat for Roshan. What were you trying to? Was he supposed to go somewhere else with that? Did you see something?
No, he was late, so he needs to get there faster.
How is he responding in those sorts of moments?
Awesome. Yeah, he's doing a great job. He's very coachable, and it's like anything. It's a new play, and so we're just communicating what the expectations are, and we want to see it show up on the tape.
That is Ben Johnson right there talking about Caleb Williams, still the most important man in the entire building, of course, no matter what we talk about.
That was Ben's way of saying, you're having a really bad day so far.
Yeah.
And now Caleb's got to try not to erupt with the volcanic anger that Nico Horner showed on Sunday in Detroit. But that's part of this, right? It's like when the coach criticizes you both on the field and then to the media afterwards, how do you respond to that? And do you understand the messages he's getting across about what needs to be better? And that was a very simple one. Like, you were just late getting to the guy on, this is a very new play. I understand that. We're working through this for the first time, but you need to get there faster.
Yeah.
Get better, but I'm not going to hear from you.
That's such a good thing call, though, by you, Dan, because so this is what it's going to be, Caleb. Like, you're talking about wanting the hard coaching. Like, sometimes when a reporter asks a question about what happened, I'm going to be painfully blunt, and I'm going to tell them that you were late. This is what it looks like, and I like the fact that so far, and things can change, and they do, that Ben Johnson, is facilitating. That's how you do it. like in terms of facilitating your message through the media and being transparent,
yeah.
And us, I think, in that definitely that case, asking the right questions and getting the right answers.
I think there is a very direct and clear line of communication on what chasing excellence is supposed to look like, right? And it starts with the message of the head coach, who's been very, very emphatic in the spring about what standards are and what the level of detail needs to be. Caleb Williams needs to understand he holds the professional livelihood of dozens of men at Halas Hall in his hands. And with that, you not only have to understand the responsibility, but you got to lean into the, I would call it the obsession of the work that is required to reach the level of play that you want to have. That's going to be a challenge through some bumps and some turbulence. And how Caleb responds to that, how Ben responds to it, how they collectively respond to it is going to tell us a lot about the direction of the 2025 Bears.
And that is going to do it for this edition of Take the North Live right here on The Score. You can take that and cut it and put it right onto the podcast right now, Adam Studzinski, if you want, because there, Bears.
We did it.
We done did it. We have not talked as much Bears as I thought we would, but that's just because there's so much good baseball stuff. There's actually some Cubs stuff that I want to get to next. The Cubs and Phillies, by the way, will be playing on The Score at 5:40 tonight. 5:10 is the pregame with Zach Zaman, Cubs, Phillies. It's a Matthew Boyd night. But I want to talk about Pete Crow Armstrong. There's something that I brought up to Ian Happ recently about PCA that's just kind of a peripheral concern. And Zach Zaman asked PCA a very poignant question on the pregame show yesterday, which was in concert with the question that I asked to Ian Happ. So we will bring it all together next for you right here on The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Craig Counsell.
When I'm on Sports Talk Radio, I learned that just keep talking, and that's helpful, right?
Could you expound on that?
No, I think that says it all.
Okay, good.
I'm going to go the anti-talk radio stance here.
Afternoons on The Score.
We've got things to discuss here on The Score. It's Mark Rohde and Dan Wiederer. First, a little breaking news from the Chicago White Sox. They are calling up right-handed pitcher Grant Taylor for his big league debut. He's expected to join the club in Houston. That is per James Fox. Grant Taylor, former second-round pick of the White Sox in 2023, a 101 ERA over six starts so far, 93 to 95 mile-per-hour fastball, secondary, his go-to secondary, upper 70s curveball, good old-fashioned 12 to 6 shape and tons of spin. So that will be interesting to see him. Also, I want to tell you, Dan Weider, and everybody else about this as well. Come on out to the Lynx Golf and Sports Bar at 2116 East Grand Avenue in Lindenhurst on Thursday, June 12th from 2 o'clock until 6 p.m. and take in the first round of action from Oakmont. The Spiegel and Holmes Show will be broadcasting live with myself and Rami Makhlouf filling in for Lawrence and Spiegs, featuring a special appearance from Chicago basketball legend Bill Wennington from 4 to 6 p.m. Download the Circa Sports Illinois app or fund your existing Circa Sports Illinois app and receive an on-site match incentive of up to $100. Plus, you can take a swing for a chance to win $5,000 with a hole-in-one courtesy of the Lynx. It is all brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. It is Grody and Weiderer in for Spiegel and Holmes today on the Score. The Cubs game coming right up here. Cubs and Phillies at the top of the hour. There's always been one little thing about Pete Crow Armstrong that I've accepted, but know or feels like it has to eventually change, Dan. And that is when he grounds out to short or pops out to left or dribbles out to the first baseman. He can't bang his bat in the dirt or throw his helmet on the ground after every single out. It's okay to be jubilant and do all the fun baseball things that baseball players do these days, but that, I mean, he does it for just about every out,
yeah.
So maybe it's lost the power of showing up a guy, but it's just not something that can last, I don't think.
It's passion that comes out in the wrong way sometimes, probably. Look, yeah, like I get it. And there's just a way of harnessing that, right? In a way that's a little bit more productive, not to take away from anything that he's done this season, but I think you're right. There has to be just to be a little bit of just pulling it back just a little, just a touch.
Just a little
just
bit.
Just a titch.
That said, I got two pieces of tape to play for you. And actually, I've made an executive decision here, Tanny. I actually want to go right to... No, worry. I didn't change anything. Just the order.
No, I'm just... I'm locked in here. I can't wait to hear what it is.
All of a sudden, the focus comes back. I know what's going on in there right now. I see Sean Sears over there. I see Tyler Buterbaugh over there. I know what's going on in that room right now. Pay attention! No, I was going to play the Ian Happ for the first one, but I want to go right to the interview. I heard Zach Zaidman talking to PCA yesterday on the pregame show, and he asked him a great question about what he needs to work on, and that very topic actually came up. Play it, Tanny!
And I know you'll say everything, but legitimately, the things that you feel like I can take the next step here, and here.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be a better teammate in terms of you know, keeping the focus, and... it's the cliche of never too high, never too low. I think I'd really like to get better at that. I think that would go along really well with the kind of vibe that we have going on in this clubhouse. Everybody's got their own great personalities, and I think that you know, utilizing that is something I can get better at. I mean, I'd like to just hone in on my strike zone and my strengths a little bit better as well, I guess, if we're talking baseball. So,
see, the never too high, never too low. I know where you're going right now.
Where am I going?
I feel like you were enjoying the music. I thought you were getting to
that. That was like good music to have in the background of that particular quote.
Totally. Like even what he was saying, like those are the lyrics to the song. Never too high, never too low. That's what you are to me. That's what I feel like was going on right there.
We had Zach on a little while ago, and we had Walking on Sunshine playing in the background there out in Philly. So it's all sorts of appropriate music today.
But don't you want your significant other to be sometimes be too high? Like do you really want an even keeled partner? You want the sometimes you got to get a little crazy, as Seal told us, right?
So, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes. That's what we
want. I'll
get
better.
I'll get better, but not from you. Do you hear me? Thank God for Doug Evans.
Thank God for Doug Evans.
Yeah. So
okay.
So I am glad because it hasn't been like a hot topic for me necessarily, this PCA stuff. I don't bring it up every single time because what PCA is doing right now is unbelievable. I just know, and I know there's got to be other Cubs fans watching too. Like, you can't, like, it's just not sustainable. But
it's a long year.
It's a long year. It's a long career.
Right.
Hopefully for him. And I did ask the same question to Ian Happ last week when we were out and about in Wrigleyville with Raheemy and Harris.
Okay, while we're on him then, man, I got to say, like, after every single out he makes, and I'm sure you guys notice this, he is disgusted. It's a helmet throwdown. It's the fake the bat over the knee. Like, he is... How long can he wear that? Or do you think that he can he exist in Major League Baseball if he's going to react to every single out he makes?
He's existing pretty well.
Yeah, that's true.
He's doing it. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. That's true. Whether a positive or negative.
Yeah.
And that's kind of who he is as a person. He plays the game with a ton of passion. And, you know, different guys go about it different ways. And you got to embrace that. And, you know, he really wants to be great. He really wants to be a great player at this level. He really wants to succeed all the time. I'm sure that'll calm itself out a little bit over the course of time, naturally. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it is. He really wants to be great.
So the players know. You know what I mean? Like, that's Ian Happ basically pushing back a little bit, and he was right to say – because that's the answer. Look what the guy's doing. Like, leave him alone. Like, let's worry about that later. But it is something that eventually needs to hopefully naturally stop occurring, you know?
I mean, you know me. You know my operative quality that I want in people. Juice.
Yeah,
PCA's
right.
Got the juice. You don't want to take away the juice from them.
Yeah, that's true.
You do have to get it to a pretty healthy level, right? A sustainable level, as you put it, because it's such a long season, because it's such a long career. We'll watch him tonight. We'll see what he does in Philly and see how he handles each at bat, each high, each low, and take a look at that.
Yeah. The Cubs with these three games against Phillies. Again, it's Matthew Boyd with a chance to keep on thriving, because right now, really, it's the Kyle Schwarber who's got one of those weird stat lines, like 20 homers and 45 RBIs, like where he's just like, he should have more RBIs, but that's because he's like the Schwarbs right now is the only one doing anything offensively for Philadelphia right now. The Phillies right now are averaging 2.4 runs per game so far, or lately, I should say, like in this kind of cold streak. They've lost five straight games. Schwarber and Turner, basically the only two guys hitting here tonight. So hopefully Boyd can take advantage of that, and the Cubs can get back on the board, because although they scored six runs on Saturday, they did get shut out by the Tigres yesterday 4-0 in the Nico Horton ejection game.
Nico Horner.
What did I say?
Horton.
Did I say Nico Horton? I did. Yeah.
You're having a really bad day so far.
Yeah. We did talk to Nico Horner earlier today. He was one of our guests, so thank you so much to Kate Horton. If you want to check that out, that's at about 2:25 on your Odyssey app. Dan, it's always a pleasure working with
you, my friend. Enjoyed it. We'll work on the role-playing, but it was fun today.
Yeah, the role-playing. I'm going to go back. I'm going to review the tape, and I'm going to try to do better next time. But please do listen to the Take the North podcast, and we know you are, and we appreciate the fact that you are. Thank you for helping us to make it a very successful podcast.
Fun day today.
Is what I would say. Yes, a fun day today indeed. Who else do we have on? Zach of the Zaidmans. Zach Zaidman, who will be coming up next with his pregame show. We told you that we had Nico Horner on. Mark Potash.
Oh, yeah.
Potsy was on. MarkPotash.net. For Alex Kuhn, our executive producer. For Chris Tannehill, the audio lord of the score. I am Mark Grody. Thanking you for listening. I will be back here tomorrow with Anthony Herron on the Spiegel and Holmes show on The Score. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I said, you're having a really bad day.
I'll get better, but I'm not going to hear from you.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.